Reading today from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6, considering again this expression that occurs in the heart of this paragraph, the glorious gospel of Christ. That's what we want to speak about today, the glorious gospel of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I draw your attention once more then to that expression, the glorious gospel of Christ, in verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And in this verse that we have considered, the adversary and the opponent to this glorious gospel, the devil himself, who works in the minds of men, blinding them, so that this glorious gospel will not shine in onto their hearts, and they'll not come to know the Lord, and they'll perish in their sin and unbelief. That's what the devil aims at, as the opponent of men, and as the resister of the gospel. And then we saw how Paul came to see this glorious gospel, and how that's how he felt about it, that it was special to him, that he'd been so delivered by the power of Jesus Christ that he could only call this good news concerning him a glorious gospel. And he wasn't ashamed of that gospel. Ever after he come to know Christ, he only ever lived to preach that gospel. And he actually died for that gospel and in the faith of that glorious gospel. So he calls it the glorious gospel of Christ. And we want to ask today is, was he right? Was he right in asserting that? And we were asking, why is it so glorious? Let us contemplate then something of its uniqueness and why it's glorious. Well, it's glorious because of its unique origin and its source. If it were mainly man-made, it could not be glorious. If it came from an earthly spring, if it came from a human mind, if it was just made up in the universities, it would have no glory. If it was just a human philosophy, if it was but a fabrication of Paul's mind, then it would have no glory. Paul didn't originate it. Paul wasn't the creator of it. The gospel which he preached, and which has been preached for hundreds of years in the Christian church, is not the gospel of a minister. It's not the gospel of a professor, or of a theologian, or a Bible school teacher. No, it's not man's guessing, or man's speculation. It's a revelation. It's a gift of God himself. He says it's of Christ. The glorious gospel of Christ. He calls it in Timothy, the glorious gospel of the blessed God. He says it's been committed to me. It was given to me. It was committed to my trust. But it originated from heaven. It came from the Lord God Almighty himself. It is not even angelic in origin. It didn't come from heaven merely, from the seraphim or the cherubim. Yes, angels announced it at times. You remember the angel at the time of the birth of our Lord, the angel said unto the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Angels announced the birth of Christ, and men have preached the gospel of Christ, but they've only brought it. Its origin is higher than that. It came from the throne of God. It came from the heart of a blessed and glorious God. And that's the only reason why it's glorious. It was contrived in the councils of the Holy Trinity. It's from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the blessed and living God himself. And that's why it's glorious. The gospel is called the wisdom and the power of God. Its grand scheme of salvation could not be devised by man. Its author is God. The plan is God. From start to finish, it's all God's. And that is why angels look into it. And that is why Christians admire it. And that is why they study it. Because it is the gospel, the glorious gospel of God himself. Not only is it glorious in its origin, it's glorious in its time and its duration. It's called in the Bible the everlasting gospel. It was the glad tidings promised before the world began. It's the everlasting covenant of grace promised in God, promised by God, promised to God, as the Father promised and covenanted with the Son and with the Holy Spirit. It's promised through God in the covenant of redemption between the three sacred persons. That's why it's the everlasting gospel. It comes out of the heart of the Trinity itself. It's as ancient as God's eternal decrees, the everlasting gospel. It's as old as the Lamb's Book of Life, which is the Lamb's Book of Life from before the foundation of the world. It's ancient. It entered into the very Garden of Eden as soon as Adam and Eve sinned and fell. God was prepared for the fall with his everlasting gospel. And he came into the garden and announced the seed of the woman would come and undo the work of Satan. So the gospel was announced in the Garden of Eden. A seeking God found Adam and announced to him this coming Christ, this coming Redeemer. And the Lamb was slain in the garden and Adam and Eve were clothed. It's as ancient as our first parents. That's why it's glorious. There's no other message like this. It's from generation to generation. It's timeless down through the ages of time. And it still comes unchanged and unchanging like God himself, telling of the everlasting way of salvation through a mediator, through the Lord God who himself must come to be our Saviour and Redeemer. And that person is the person of God's Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And whenever time shall be no more, the gospel shall still endure on. And in heaven, men and women who have been saved will be still studying it. They'll still be talking about it. They'll still be praising God for it. And the church will adore the everlasting God forever and ever and be singing this everlasting song of the glorious gospel that saved them all and brought them to be in the presence of the Most High God. They'll still sing about it in the great eternity. We read in the book of the Revelation, they sung a new song, saying, "Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." And so that's why it's glorious. It's as everlasting as that. It'll be sung throughout the ages of eternity. Glorious because divine. Glorious because everlasting. It's a wonderful gospel. It's a glorious gospel. And I wonder, does the listener find it to be that? Do you believe that it is divine in origin? Have you come to realize that this is the message that God himself has sent for the salvation of your soul. God desires the salvation of your soul. God has sent you the gospel that tells you about one who can save you, one who through whom you can have the forgiveness of sins. It tells you of that blood that was shed freely for the atonement of the souls of sinners, by which repentant and believing men can be reconciled to God. That's how you're made right with God, through Jesus Christ, through Calvary, through his cross work. It's a glorious message. It's wonderful good news. And it's the power of God to save you. If you'll but listen, if you'll but let that Christ of that glorious gospel into your life, into your heart, if you would believe on him who is the image of the invisible God, and his glorious good news will shine into your heart, and you'll come to have the assurance of salvation. So these are a couple of reasons why the gospel is so glorious, so wonderful. It's also glorious in its design and purpose. And its design is not only to save sinners, that's a glorious purpose in itself, a wonderful purpose, but it's also designed to glorify God. Because this is what God is interested in showing his majesty, in showing his glory to his creatures, and in the message of salvation for sinners, and in the grace of the forgiveness of sins that is set forth in this message, God's glory is manifested, the glory of his grace, the glory of his mercy, and the gospel shows that. Yes, it shows the glory of his wisdom, it shows the glory of his goodness, the glory of his power, the glory of his grace. And that's the design of this gospel. That's why it's so special. That's why angels study it. That's why it's adored by the saints in heaven, because they see so much of the glory of God in the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. But have you seen the glory? I trust that you'll come to see the glory. I trust that the Lord will work in your heart and you'll come to admire Jesus Christ and to believe in him, to put your trust in him alone.